In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God's greatest joy is the salvation of the sinner. And so he leaves the 99 in the open country and relentlessly pursues the one single individual lost sinner. He doesn't limit his search to only those who have committed egregious sins. But he pursues all who have sinned, all who were tempted and have fallen, whether in thought, word, or deed. He wants all to be saved. And so he will not simply cut his losses and stick with the majority, but he diligently searches for each and every one who has sinned. He loves the world, which means that he loves each individual sinner. He treats us not as a group, but he treats us as individuals, hiding among the trees, under the thorns, and lying in the pit. And so he called the tax collectors and sinners to leave their sinfulness behind. He called the Pharisees to abandon their selfish, self-righteous pride. He came to them, pointing out their sin with clarity, yet also with great gentleness. He receives the sinner, but his love won't let them remain in their sins. He will not accept nature or nurture as an excuse. He will not tolerate their immorality just to gain a following for himself. And he will not let them continue to wander, as sadly many churches today let them wander. "Go and sin no more," he says, as he lays the sinners across his shoulders, forgiven once more. Whatever they have done, he now bears. Their guilt, he shoulders. Their cross, he carries, to spare their life in exchange for his. So they listen as he speaks of a new way, a new life, a new freedom found in his forgiving love. And tax collectors stopped stealing, and sinners stopped prostituting themselves, and Pharisees stopped their arrogance, for he carried them. He changed them. And he calls together his heavenly friends, and they rejoice that the one single individual sinner is found. This is how the church lives. So let us imitate heaven. Let us copy those holy angels. Let us be filled with joy over the salvation of one sinner. Joy flows from God's great love to the individual. Rejoice that God has saved you, but also rejoice that God has saved the person in front of you. Abandon your selfishness that cares only about me, my life, my problems, my family. And rejoice in the Lord who ate with tax collectors and sinners, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who called Pharisees to repentance, and many of them did repent, and who carries the little ones, the weak, the humble, the distraught on his shoulders. Jesus doesn't simply come to meet your perceived needs. This isn't about you. But it's joy over what God has done for all, for others. Joy in the cross, joy in the empty tomb, joy in the absolution that he speaks not simply to you, but to all who repent and believe. He has not turned away, but he has remembered his loving promises. He moved heaven and he shook the earth in order to come to the sinner. And he will not stop pursuing them, calling to them to repent and believe. Matters not how many days, weeks, or years have passed since they fell. He loves them. So if the angels in heaven will rejoice over this, how can we be silent? Or worse, how can we be like the Pharisee and look down on others? The Pharisee found joy in their accomplishments. They were good. They were blameless in the law of God. They did what God required, at least outwardly. So their joy was centered on themselves. If, like them, you search for joy by escaping this world into your own accomplishments, your own thoughts, your own self, then you will quickly realize how empty you are. So go ahead and fill your heart with food, drink, and music. Fill yourself with family, friends, and hard work. Fill yourself with experiences, vacations, activities. None of that will satisfy. Solomon tried all of this and recognized it was all meaningless. His own good works could not save him. Like a straying sheep, it led him only to despair. For which of these things can take away your sin? Which vacation can make you pure before God? Which family member gives you absolution? No, the joy of vacation quickly fades. The happiness of a spouse quickly turns to reality of living with another sinner. Food spoils, family disappoints, experiences are only a memory, and our hard work, the good that we have done, does often lead to failed results. So who knows? Maybe God frustrated your plans, sent that sickness, decreased your portfolio, or gave you a boring vacation in order to teach you where your joy is supposed to be found. You may not be happy at all times, but God is not concerned about your happiness. You can still be joyful. Happiness is tied to getting what you want when you think you need it. Joy is tied in seeing others increase. And so you are happy when you have no troubles, when life goes according to what you want. But joy remains even in the midst of trouble, because it is built upon the work God has done. It's not centered on you, but it's centered on Him. It's not about how you feel, but about how God feels about you. It's not about what you can accomplish, but what He has accomplished for you and for others. Tell me what the sheep accomplished. What did the coin do? They wandered and got themselves lost. And yet we hear that Christ relentlessly pursued them, calling from a distance, "Where are you? Have you eaten of the fruit from which I commanded you not to eat? Have you broken my commandments yet again? Have you loved my creation above me? You tried to go it alone. You tried to find happiness by doing the things you thought would give you happiness, and you ended up a lost sheep. But God is faithful, and He once more leaves the 99 because he could not stand to have heaven without you. He moved heaven and shook the earth to come and find you where you thought no one could ever find you, where you thought you had a safe hiding place from the world. There God comes, and He declares to you yet again, "I forgive you all your sins." And then you find yourself on His shoulders while heaven bursts forth in joyful song. No lecture, no wagging a finger at you, telling you how could you, no making you promise even that you'll never do it again, but full and free forgiveness. He takes away your sin. Whatever you have done, wherever you have failed this past week, it does not matter. The Lord has cast all your sins into the depths of the sea, and heaven sings. So also do we sing. You have come into this house, and it causes us great joy. God has forgiven you all your sins and declared you His own once more, and we rejoice over you. God has led you to repent of your sins, whether great or small. We don't know what they are, but we know that whatever they may be, great or small, God has taken them away. He gives you His forgiveness once more. You still believe that you are a poor, miserable sinner, and that leads us to rejoice. You still believe that Christ is your Savior, and that fills our hearts with gladness. Our hearts are glad that He loves you and has sent His Spirit to work repentance in your faith once more, for why else would you be here? so also rejoice that he has forgiven the one sitting next to you. Your joy is not found in meeting people who like you or share a similar worldview as you. Your great joy does not come from hearing about their accomplishments, their life stories, their experiences, or even their family. But your joy flows from God's forgiveness to them. Yes, their lives are often a mess. Yes, their hearts are often weak and fragile. And yes, they've also made some decisions that have cost them greatly and brought more trouble upon themselves. But do not look down on them. Rather, rejoice in what God has done for them. Do not shame them for their sins, but rejoice that Christ forgives them. Do not hold a grudge against them, but rejoice that they are no longer separated from God. You do not need to hear a testimonial or a personal story of how their lives changed when they found Christ. But you only need to hear that God loves them and forgives them. And then your heart shouts for joy to the Lord. And then you sing a new song and spring with joy that you sit in the pew next to them and kneel at this rail next to them and you hear amen flow from their lips. If God can't imagine heaven without you, then do not imagine heaven without them. St. Paul encourages us to always be joyful. Impossible if we look at ourselves. Impossible if we care only about our needs, our wants. Impossible if we look only at our vacations, our accomplishments, our life experiences, our family, our good works. Possible only when we see God and his forgiving love poured out not only on us, but on all the world. And then neither death nor life, neither riches nor poverty, ease or troubles, neither accomplishments or failures will rob us of the joy of heaven. For God's great joy is the salvation of a sinner, and so is ours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.